Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The Senate has approved bipartisan legislation to lift the debt ceiling, just days before the nation risked defaulting on its debt. NPR's Vincent Accavino reports.
Senate votes on the bipartisan debt ceiling bill wrapped late Thursday night in Washington.
On this vote, the yeas are 63, the nays are 36. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
The deal had its critics on both sides of the aisle, although none of the 11 proposed amendments to the bill saw success on the floor. Before the vote, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer celebrated the agreement and thanked his colleagues.
America can breathe a sigh of relief, because in this process, we are avoiding default.
Vincent Accavino, NPR News.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says that Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine has been a strategic failure.
Kremlin often claimed it had the second strongest military in the world, and many believed it. Today, many see Russia's military as the second strongest in Ukraine. Its equipment, technology, leadership, troops, strategy, tactics, and morale, a case study in failure.
Blinken spoke in Helsinki, Finland, the newest member of the NATO alliance. He said the U.S. is working with Ukraine and other allies to build consensus around the core elements of ending the war. He said the U.S. welcomes efforts by Brazil, China, or any other nation to find a way to a just and lasting peace. A three-day security meeting opens in Singapore today, attracting senior military officers, diplomats, and analysts from around the world. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is there for the U.S. Major issues include the war in Ukraine, the continued conflict in Myanmar, and growing tensions between the U.S. and China, as both countries try to expand their influence with Asia-Pacific nations. International firefighting efforts are on the way to help tackle Canada's wildfires. Officials say it's been an unprecedented start to the wildfire season in Canada. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
In Nova Scotia, more than a dozen wildfires continue to burn and grow, as many as four of them out of control, especially in the southern part of the Atlantic province. Emergency Preparedness Minister Bill Blair says the Canadian military is being mobilized to help.
That is a particularly dangerous fire, and we're very concerned that it actually threatens a number of communities and other critical infrastructure in southern Nova Scotia.
Blair says wildfires have destroyed about 7.5 million acres of land this season across Canada. Meanwhile, hundreds of firefighters from the U.S., South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, and Mexico are heading for Canada to help crews in Alberta and Nova Scotia. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
This is NPR News from Washington. The Labor Department releases its monthly jobs report this morning. Many analysts expect that employers added fewer jobs to the economy last month compared to the more than a quarter million jobs in April, but still at a healthy pace. Health officials are calling for more awareness around Mpox, a disease that spread through communities at risk last summer. As NPR's Ping Huang reports, the warning is based on concerns of a potential outbreak.
In the past month, more than 30 people in Chicago have come down with Mpox. New cases have been found in Europe as well. More than 500,000 people in America at risk live in places with low vaccination rates that could sustain large outbreaks that last for months. Dr. Bahuma Titanji at Emory University says that while death rates have been low, Mpox is a serious viral disease.
It's still a disease that can be disfiguring. It can cause severe pain, and for people who are immunocompromised, can even be fatal. So it's not a trivial occurrence to have an Mpox infection.
Mpox spreads mostly through sexual contact, and health experts say that people at risk should get new rashes tested for Mpox and get vaccinated if they haven't been to shore up immunity. Ping Huang, NPR News.
Fort Bragg, North Carolina will become Fort Liberty today. It's part of the Defense Department's effort to rename military installations bearing the names of Confederate soldiers to acknowledge systemic racism and to make military bases more welcoming to current and prospective black service members. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.